Now back to Heidi and John with The Lighter Side on AM 1360 KUIK, West Side Talk Radio.
And we're back. I'm John Oliver, along with Heidi Rickey, and you're listening to The Lighter Side here on Saturday morning on AM 1360 KUIK. Coming up later in the show, we're going to be talking to Bob Waite, the director of the Tualatin Hills Parks and Rec District, about Party in the Park that's happening today. And Heidi, right now you have some guests here for us.
I do. I'm very excited. We have two people from SaveHelvetia.org. We have Cherry Amabiska and Brian, tell me your last name again.
Beinlich.
Brian Beinlich. And you're here to tell us a little bit about the area of Helvetia, which is just outside of Hillsboro. And I have a feeling there's a lot of people that don't know where Helvetia is or what it's all about. So why don't you give us a little insight on where this is at?
Helvetia was founded by the early Swiss and German settlers. And they regarded the area of Helvetia as starting over in the Bethany and Old Germantown area, mm-hmm. those roads, going west to Jackson Quarry and over to Jackson School. So that whole area is where they settled in the 1870s. And they called it Helvetia because it means Switzerland in Latin.
Oh, really?
And in fact, you can still see on the Swiss coins, it says Helvetia on it.
Wow.
Because that's their word for Switzerland.
Didn't know that.
And it reminded them of Switzerland, the rolling hills, all of the trees, and many of them came from Canton Bern in Switzerland, and that's it just reminded them of that so much. So that's why they called it Helvetia.
I have to tell you, I went out to check out the Helvetia Tavern because everyone told me how great the burgers were. So
I'll just hop
over Highway 26 and head out to Helvetia and see what mm-hmm. I could find. Well, mm-hmm. I found the tavern, but I found myself also going past the tavern because I could not leave. It's like immediately when you cross over and you take a right off of that Helvetia Road exit, it's like you're in a different world, the rolling hills and the farmland, and it's just absolutely stunning. And one of the things that I saw when I was there was SaveHelvetia.org signs all over the place. So tell me why Helvetia is a place that needs saving. What's going on there?
Helvetia is unique because it is still intact as a rural environment. The people who live within the urban growth boundary are surrounded by strip malls and asphalt and boxy factories, but they appreciate coming out to Helvetia area because it's a country environment, and they experience a way of life that they can't experience within the urban growth boundary. We have many, many opportunities for people to come out with their kids to enjoy. We have many equine farms where they can ride. We have a therapeutic riding farm. We have subscription farms. We have a lot of you-pick farms where they can get cherries, berries, strawberries, so forth.
You have the perfect name to live out there, Cherry. It's just perfect.
Of course, we have...
Well, there are a lot of different attractions. There's the roll-off farms.
That's right.
A lot of people
celebrities
know
there too.
About
yes.
Helvetia because of the roll-offs mm-hmm. and their TV show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they have a you-pick pumpkin patch that is active during the Halloween season. There are other different you-pick pumpkin areas.
Mm-hmm. You have a farm as well, right?
We have a small farm, mm-hmm. yes, and we host a subscription farm.
Dos Sequoias?
Our farm is called Dos Sequoias.
Okay.
And what's a subscription farm?
A subscription farm is an economic model for a farmer that allows them to have more certainty about what prices they're going to get for their crops. And the way it works is that the farmer at the beginning of the season decides about how many people they think he or she or they think they can grow for, and they sell that many shares. In our case, Abundant Harvest is our farm partner, the CSA or subscription farm. He says I can grow for about 35 or 40 people, and so they sell 35 or 40 shares to people for a fixed price. So the customer, the subscriber, pays a certain amount of money up front. The farmer knows exactly how much income he's getting. The customer gets whatever's coming off the farm, they get their share of that every week. And if there's, you know, if the tomatoes do really well, you get lots and lots of tomatoes. You know, if one thing or another doesn't do well, you don't get quite so much of that. But the farmer provides a huge variety of different things so that there's always just some incredible different things in your basket. Mm-hmm. Like every week, there are probably 20 different items in the basket, from herbs to flowers to fruit to vegetables.
Wow.
No, that's interesting.
Doesn't get any fresher than
that before.
Too.
No, right. No, that's great.
In addition to that, it provides a lot of other things. And for subscribers, there's a lot of different models, but one of the more common models is that they come to the farm to pick up your vegetables every week. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so they get a chance to go out to the country every week and walk around the farm. A lot of farms are farmed organically.
Well, and then you're not paying a delivery.
That's correct.
For any delivery,
which saves cost for everybody and saves, you know, time and energy for the farmer. They get to come out to the farm. They can walk around the farm. At our farm, we have goats and chickens, and other farms have different things, you know. They can experience a little bit of farm life. And so that's really nice for them. They get great vegetables that were harvested, like, the same day. You don't get fresh vegetables any fresher than that.
No. Oh, doesn't the average tomato, like, travel about 1,300 miles from truck to table?
Yes.
Generally, it's pretty accurate. Some numbers statistic. Like that.
Where in the heck did you come up with that?
I don't know. Where do I get any of the stuff wrapped around in my brain?
All right. So what's going on out in Hillsborough now that has everybody up there up in arms? What's happening?
In Helvetia, you mean?
Or Helvetia. I'm sorry. What did I say?
Well,
I said
Hillsborough.
It is as much what's going on in Hillsborough as
true.
It is what's going on in Helvetia. That's an accurate perception.
As part of the urban and rural reserve process that the state authorized several years ago, the cities have requested acres to be added to urban reserves. These are areas that they will want to expand the urban growth boundary into in the future. And Hillsborough has requested 47,000 acres of prime farmland, which is about three times the size of their city at this point right now.
I think that's the total for Washington County, right? The 47,000 acres is Washington County.
Washington County, I'm
but
sorry.
But the area above in the Helvetia area is about 4,000?
No, it's 7,000.
7,000, right.
Okay. They've requested 3,000 acres for industrial and another 4,000 for residential. In the Helvetia area, which is north of Highway 26, from Germantown Road over to North Plains, past North Plains, that's prime agricultural land. It's the best rated agricultural land in the state, in the country.
And the world.
And the world.
It turns out to be some of the best soils in the world.
Right. So the way that you're making this sound to me, this is about like a 50-year potential time frame that we're talking about, mm-hmm. if these lands are designated, and they're not technically rural reserves as of yet, right?
That's correct.
It's correct. And
okay.
our movement is to get them designated as rural reserves
so that
they're protected.
Absorbed.
Right.
Okay.
So that farmers will have a certainty that they can invest and continue to farm,
right.
and not have to worry about the urban growth boundary coming into their land.
Right, because 50 years to a farmer is actually probably a much shorter span than
correct.
50 years to anyone
right, because some
else.
Of their crops take 7-9 years to,
right.
to come to fruition. So
right, like the average asparagus,
Christmas
right, John?
Trees, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
All my vegetable
Christmas
trivia
trees.
Today.
So
now,
you've been watching VeggieTales again,
yes,
haven't you?
Possible, yeah. Yeah, well, I have a four-year-old nephew, so he loves those.
And that's actually what's different this time. The process is different now than it ever has been before. In that the state of Oregon has authorized the metro region, which is the metro and the three counties, to designate these urban and rural reserves, which look out 50 years. Typically, they look out 20 years. And as Cherry said, the idea is to, behind rural reserves, is to give the agricultural community some certainty about what's going to be happening. Because the alternative, which we have today, is every 5 years, the cities have to look at whether or not they want to expand their urban growth boundaries. And so if you're farming on the edge of the city, every 5 years, you've got to wonder whether the bulldozers are coming or not. And that affects what decisions you make as a farmer
sure.
about what kind of crops you're going to plant.
So now, when is this decision going to be made?
Well, there's an ongoing process. Actually, it's been going on for about a year, a little more than a year. The big decisions, I think, are going to be happening between now and basically the end of the year. As far as Washington County goes, and not to get into the process too much.
Sure.
But it's a multi-step process. But Washington County is going to be finalizing their requests for urban and rural reserves in September.
And this
so
goes
it's coming right up.
This goes before a board, right? So this isn't something we'll see on the ballot or anything like that. This is a select group of people who make this decision.
That's correct. There's
okay.
no ballot. There's nothing to be voted on. The Board of Washington County Commissioners will make the decision and forward their decision, their recommendations up to, there's a group called the Core Four that basically the metro level or the higher level, which has one metro representative and one representative from each of the three counties.
And how has this brought the community of Helvetia together, and what options do you have?
Well, for one thing, we're asking people to go on to the SaveHelvetia.org website because there's a place there. They can learn about the reserve process. They can see the map of what area entails. They can go on and put in a letter that goes to our elected officials who are making these decisions to tell them why Helvetia should be kept as a rural reserve. And so there's an opportunity for them to get their input in. Those are forwarded directly to those officials at Metro and in the county. So that's one thing we're asking people to do. And sign our petitions. A number of us are out in the community at farmers markets, at races, at marathons and so forth with our petitions. So we're asking people to please sign in and sign up and get their voice heard about the rural reserves. There's a number of other things that we're doing in the Helvetia area. One thing we want to focus on and let the people who are making the decision know is that Helvetia is not just farms. We have prime agricultural land, but it is also a wildlife habitat. We are part of a wildlife corridor that runs from Forest Park all the way out to the Coast Range. So we have a number of herds of elk that use that corridor, and they come down into the Helvetia area quite often and share that space with them. So it's an important wildlife corridor for big game. We also have citizens out mapping the elk. We have citizens out mapping our old Oregon white oaks to do a survey, an inventory. This has never been done, but the white oak is a habitat of concern, and it's on the top list of the state for conserving. So we are mapping the old growth Oregon oaks that are in that area. We're looking at all the fish in the stream. So we're doing a whole citizen survey and with scientific backgrounds to show that we have not just the prime agricultural lands, but also a prime wildlife area that needs to be preserved.
And that was savehelvetia.org. And in case you don't know how to spell Helvetia, because I probably didn't until I saw the sign, it's HELVETIA.org.
See, I knew that.
I don't think Jeff knew that, though.
Jeff didn't know how to say it. He was calling it Helvetia.
Jeff is our weekly morning show host, and he was calling it Helvetia.
Helvetia, yeah.
But he's also a fifth-generation farmer, so I'm sure that this would be an issue close to his heart, too. So. Yes.
Well, Brian, Cherry, we want to thank you for coming out here today.
Thank you so much.
Once again, give that website one more time.
SaveHelvetia.org.
Go on there, learn about the process, learn about what's going on out in Helvetia, and by all means, sign the petitions. So, Brian, Cherry, thanks for joining us today. Have a great weekend, and we'll keep our fingers crossed and keep us informed of what's going on out there, will you?
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Coming up next on The Lighter Side, Heidi and I will be talking to Bob Waite from the Tualatin Hills Parks and Rec District. We'll be talking Party in the Park right here on The Lighter Side on AM 1360 KUIK.